Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Where do you have them on the trust scale? I know a lot of you Tolos may not want to get on the scale in the mornings, may need to drop a few LBs, but when it comes to the trust scale out there, no, I'm not calling you fat. We're all there, right? When it comes to the trust scale, Diesel, where do we have these teams? The AP poll was released this past weekend after another fantastic week of college football. And yesterday's Overreaction Monday was so busy, we didn't get a chance to take a deep dive into the AP poll. But now that it is released for the week of October 26th, on Sunday is when it was released, officially week 10. I don't know how we're already in week 10, but here we are. Where are these teams on the trust scale? And what I mean by trust is when you talk about making a run to the national championship, do you trust these teams? Welcome into Wire to Wire, hour number two. He's Diesel, I'm Cole Bryson. If the scale starts at zero and goes to 10, Diesel, let's start at the very top. Ohio State, they're 7-0, a big one this Saturday afternoon against Penn State. But on the trust scale, let's start with the Buckeyes. Tolos, want to hear from you as well. 844-326-3663. Where's the Buckeyes on your trust scale, Diesel? How much faith and trust do you have in Ryan Day's Buckeyes?
They have given up 43 points all season.
Mm-hmm.
Combined.
Mm-hmm.
Combined. 7 points to Texas, 9 points to Ohio, 6 to Washington, 3 to Minnesota, 16 to a top 20 Illinois at the time, and they blanked Wisconsin. They have an embarrassment of riches at Ohio State, an elite defense, an insanely elite defense, and they got an offense that can put up points on just about anybody, Cole. I give Ohio State a 10 out of 10 on my trust meter. I would be blown away at this point if Ohio State doesn't make the national championship game. The problem for Ohio State is that they haven't been tested again and again and again all season long. They haven't been in a close game all season long.
Easy, the phone lines are about to blow up.
So
easy.
It feels sort of reminiscent of Clemson's national title runs back in the day. I mean, look, just because you play a relatively manageable schedule doesn't mean that you're going to get beat when you go up against an SEC team or two in the playoff. But it would certainly help if they were in a tight game or two and they had to go win it on a late game drive, and they haven't had to do that yet.
Well, at least they have James Franklin and Drew Aller this Saturday. Wait. No, they don't have James Franklin and Drew Aller. So getting gets good because you're going up against a Penn State team that's a shell of what they were and expected to be, right? And then to your point, at Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, and then you finish the season at Michigan, which will be tough. It always is. Do you realize when you look at their season totals, you mentioned the amount of points they've given up. If my math's correct, they're averaging like 6 points allowed per game.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to win a lot of football games holding them to two field goals.
That's what the average comes to, roughly, just off the top of my head. Offensively, you talked about their defense. Okay, offensively, they're not good, right? Well, they're averaging 431.4 yards per game, around 270, 280 yards passing per game, about 150 rushing per game. They have a third down conversion rate of 52.7. And defensively, Diesel, they hold opponents to a 21.3 percentage on third down. So, yes, the number one team in the country, I think we can all agree, and if there are any Tolos out there that disagree, we'd love to hear from you. It seems like Ohio State's the most trustworthy team in college football right now. Diesel, I'd agree with you. I also have them at a 10 on the trust scale.
It's not what this discussion is about. We can come back here at another time, Cole.
Mm-hmm.
But if Ohio State goes back-to-back and the Big Ten has won three in a row at that point, what then becomes of that SEC dominance narrative? Especially when it comes to tournament dominance. Like, I don't think anybody's arguing that the SEC is loaded with top 25 teams and their depth is far greater than the depth of the Big Ten. But when it really matters, when it comes time to go get trophies and rings, the Big Ten is the better conference.
Well,
wouldn't that certainly say that?
No, it would say Ohio State's the better team, right? Because Ohio State's the one getting the rings. It would almost easily remind me of Bama's dominance in the SEC. You remember when everybody else was riding the coattails of Alabama, right?
Sure.
Chanting SEC, 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 when they've never done anything in the SEC. But that's just the way it goes. To your point, that's the way it happens. As fans, oh, well, look at the Big Ten. Look at the Big Ten. Look at the Big 12. Look at the SEC. Michigan played a part in that, obviously, and credit to them. But I think right now the Ohio State's the front runner, the clear front runner of winning a national championship. So the trust scale continues. Tolos, want to hear from you as well. 844-326-3663. On the trust scale, Diesel, where do you put Indiana? Fernando Mendoza, they've had a pretty good season as well. They're 7-0. Averaging themselves 43.9 points per game. They're ranked fourth among all teams in offense. Defensively, they're only allowing 11.6 points per game. Kurt Cignetti has this team like a well-oiled machine. And I want to know, where are they on your and the Tolos trust scale?
I think I got them at around a 9,
okay,
which is crazy for me to say about an Indiana team. But they've been more tested than Ohio State has been this year. They went on the road, beat a number 3 Oregon team by 10 points.
That's a huge win.
They hosted Illinois, who was a top 10 team at the time, just beat them 63-10.
Yeah.
I mean, they are putting up crazy numbers on the offense, crazy numbers on the defense. I mean, this is a team, Cole, that, I mean, they've been held to around 30 points just twice this year, three times this year. Outside of that, they're hitting 38, 50, 56, 56, 73, 63. I mean, they are scoring in bunches. They just better hope that they can keep the quarterback healthy.
You know what? To your point, I'd almost say that Indiana has done more when it comes to where we are on the trust factor. Like, to your point, Diesel, they beat Oregon, and this is a really good Oregon team.
Two wins over top 10 teams.
And they almost
– Ohio State has one.
Against Illinois, I think they had, like, 500 yards of offense.
Yeah.
I mean, just boat raced them. And it's a good Illinois team, not a great Illinois team, but, like, they're really impressive. They're checking the boxes, and Ohio State is too, but, man – it's hard for me not to have them as a – if I'm going to have Ohio State as a 10 on my trust scale, I've got to have Indiana as a 10 as well.
Indiana's got a stronger resume.
It's impressive.
It's not by a ton, but they do have a stronger resume.
You don't have their schedule pulled up by chance,
Indiana, I do.
What's their remaining?
Their remaining is at Maryland, at Penn State, Wisconsin, and at Purdue.
So they're winning out.
Yeah, they're winning.
They're going to be undefeated going into the conference. Wow. You're right. That's impressive.
We're going to see an Indiana-Ohio State conference championship game. Should the loser of that game fall outside of the top two?
No.
outside of the top two.
Well,
because in all likelihood, there'll be one, two.
Depends
at the
on
time.
The outcome. Depends on yep. the outcome. If it's close, which I expect it to be, I mean, if it's 10 points or under, Diesel, the loser of that game shouldn't be penalized. If it's more than 10 points, okay, you start getting into that conversation. But, all right, Texas A&M on the how much do you trust them scale, 0 being not at all, 10 being I trust them a lot. I had Ohio State and Indiana both at a 10. Diesel, the Aggies have, my gosh, you talk about impressive, 8-0 on the season. Where do you have these Aggies at on your trust scale?
I got them around an 8.
Okay.
On the scale. And it's not just, you know, because they've beaten a couple top 25 teams. That's impressive. But they've been in some really tight games, Cole. They beat Notre Dame 41-40. They gave up 42 points to Arkansas without Sam Pittman, by the way. They'd already fired. That was 2 weeks ago, or last week.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 25 points to a bad LSU. They gave up – I mean, they've given up points a few times this season. So the defense does play pretty well most of the time. But occasionally, this defense will give up some points. And that's just not something we've seen from the other two teams that we've talked about.
They've scored 302 points through eight games, which is averaging 37.8, allowing an average of 23.6 points per game. Look, I like A&M. I think they have a quarterback, and we talked about their quarterback yesterday, Diesel. I think they have as good as a quarterback as any of them right now, just in terms of what he's able to do. And not only, you know, through the air, but a slippery athletic guy as well. They're 8-0, man, in the SEC. Let's never, ever, ever discount being 8-0. And when you talk about what they have left, could they trip up? Yeah, they could. But you remember I had that audio yesterday, Diesel, of Kirk Herbstreit going through their remaining schedule and remaining win percentage when he didn't know who Samford was. They're not going to lose at Mizzou.
No.
They're not going to lose at home at Bryan College Station against South Carolina. They're not going to lose to Samford. And right now, if they played today, wouldn't we all pick A&M to beat Texas? We would all pick A&M. There's not anybody out there that would pick Texas to beat A&M right now, the way Marcel Reed and those guys are playing. So you talk about Indiana and Ohio State, put Texas A&M right there in terms of having a good chance at winning out. I'd have them at probably a 9. Just a tick higher than you, but I can't put them at a 10. You can't have everybody at a 10, and you know, unless you're just high on everybody. But I've got Ohio State and Indiana at a 10 on the trust scale and A&M at about a 9.
I still think there's a chance they lose on the road at Missouri. I don't think there's a strong chance they lose at Texas. I think they win that game, but, I mean, who knows? Everybody has been waiting for Texas A&M to collapse. And that's because Texas A&M almost always collapses, right?
Yeah.
We've seen it. That's been their MO. Get off to a hot start, collapse down the stretch.
Now,
this is a Mike Elko-led team. This is not Jimbo Fisher. This is not Kevin Sumlin.
What about Alabama? After a big win on the road at South Carolina, 7-1 on the season. Again, a very good team that seems like they're peaking. I know that they had to struggle to get through that game Saturday, but you also give South Carolina credit as well, averaging around 34 points per game, allowing around an average of 18 points per game. They're really good. I don't think they're like elite defensively like Ohio State seems to be right now. Their passing game's extraordinary, Diesel. Over 2,000 yards passing from Ty Simpson. I love what Kalen DeBoer's done this year, especially after that Florida State loss when we're sitting there thinking, oh boy, Kalen DeBoer just lost to Florida State. And let's be honest now, Florida State's not a good team. That wasn't a great loss, but the way they've rebounded from that loss, they're playing as good as anybody. I do struggle with where exactly I place them on the trust scale in terms of do I trust them to I think they could win a national championship? I think they could, but do I also trust them to be up there with Indiana and Ohio State? I think I'd probably put Bama to 8 right now.
4 top 20 wins for Alabama.
Yeah.
The loss to Florida State, who looked like world beaters at the time. And at the time, sure, when Florida State won that game, we thought, oh, my God, FSU is back. Tommy Castellanos, he is exactly what the doctor ordered there in Tallahassee. What scares me about Alabama is if they were to face a team like Indiana that scores quick, would they be able to dig back out of that hole? Because we saw them, play poorly in the first half against South Carolina. Again, credit because they scored twice in the fourth quarter to go win that ball game. Like it's there's something to be said for a resilient football team that can find ways to win even when they're not playing their best. But it was against South Carolina, a team that's been offensively inept all season long. If they're playing badly against an Indiana or an Ohio State that scores 50, 60, 70 points a game, they might be too deep in a hole and not stand a chance to be able to come back. I'd put them at more like a six.
Six? Okay. I don't hate it. I'm going to skip a few here. I'm going to skip over Georgia and Oregon at 5 and 6 and go to Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, and those Rebels, Diesel, 7-1, 4-1 in conference. You talked about their quarterback yesterday. They're averaging around 37 points per game, defensively giving up a little bit more than teams like Indiana, Ohio State, and Alabama, around 22.6 points per game. But offensively, they're putting up near 500 yards a game, and Lane Kiffin's got them playing really well. I think this is a really good football team. I don't know how good of a team they are at one loss. Where are they on your trust scale?
Probably around a 5.
Oh, wow.
Around a 5.
I thought they'd be higher.
They're up. They're down. They give up a lot of points. They score a lot of points. I think the way they've been tested all season long, more often than not, they come out ahead. Right? They've only got one loss on the road against a really good Georgia team, and that was an 8-point game. I would, against the bottom half of the 12-team playoff field, sure, I'd give you a trust scale of a 9.
Yeah.
But when it comes time to get into those quarterfinals and those semifinals, or get into those semifinals and the national championship game, I just don't know. I just don't know. I mean, obviously, they've got a win over LSU, but that one is very suspect at the moment, and that was just a 5-point win. They lost to Georgia. They beat Oklahoma in a weird, rainy game on the road. Credit to win that football game. But, I mean, they gave up 35 points to Arkansas. They gave up 23 points to a bad Kentucky team. So they should have beat Kentucky by 3 scores. They only beat them by 1. They should have beat Arkansas by 3 scores. They only beat them by 1.
Madcraft says 4.4 for Ole Miss. You said 6.
I said a five.
On my trust scale. I trust them. I don't trust them against the very best of the best. One more, though, before we run to a break and bring on Jack Veltri. Go ahead.
Have you heard that quote from the postgame press conference or availability, Lane Kiffin trolling Brent Venables for his hot take?
No.
When Brent said that he thought Oklahoma was a better football team, he's like, well, that's an interesting take considering we beat you on the road in conditions that are perfect for defenses. I would say that you weren't the better football team.
I love Lane.
What game are you analyzing?
I love Lane. He's the best. I love him. One more. Where do you have the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech on your trust scale when you talk about being able to go on a playoff run, win a national championship, Diesel? I know it sounds crazy to ask the question, but they are the 8th-ranked team in the country, and they are undefeated at 8-0. This one's a tough one. Also want to hear from the Tolos. Where's the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech?
About a 2. About a 2. But, I mean, they deserve to be higher in my mind. I get what I'm saying.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. But Haynes King is playing amazing football this year, right? Haynes King has played pretty bad football for the majority of his career. Like, good enough for Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
But not, like, national-level elite. And I don't trust Haynes King. Like, how is he a different player in 2025 than he was in 2024 and 2023?
The 7 teams above them in the AP poll, Ole Miss, Oregon, Georgia, Bama, A&M, Indiana, Ohio State. What do you think Georgia Tech could beat any of those teams? I don't think so.
I mean, either. Their wins are against Colorado, Gardner-Webb, Clemson, Temple, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Duke, and Syracuse. Duke might be the only team with a pulse they've actually played all season long.
Oh, it's tough. I'll go a little higher than you, but not like a lot higher. Yeah. I'll go, what'd you say?
2.
Yeah.
Maybe 3?
Yeah, I'll go like, I'll be generous. I'll go 4, but I don't, I'll go 4, just to be generous.
Alex on the stream says, have you all seen the player and dad attacked an assistant coach at Eastern Kentucky? No, we haven't. We're going to look that up in the break. And
send it to us, Alex.
And send us a link or let us know where we can find it. We'll look it up in the break and see if we can discuss it a little bit later on in the show. But when we come back, it's time to talk South Carolina Gamecocks with our man, Jack Feltry of Gamecock Central.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
It's Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson. Time to jump back into the weeds of South Carolina football with Jack Feltry of Gamecock Central. Jack, you were in the room on Saturday after the game. I'm sure Shane Beamer quite sallow in that opportunity to meet with him. How was he earlier today, and how has he been over the last few days? Has Shane been a goldfish? Has he turned it right back around and turned that positivity back on, or is that loss kind of dragging him down a little bit?
Doing pretty good, I think, guys. I mean, we spoke to him earlier today, and typically the way it goes, I was not on the teleconference on Sunday because I was at basketball, but I think with him, it's always, from my understanding and just listening to him talking a lot, it's always Saturday's a bit, you know, frustrated after the game. If they lose, happy on Saturday. If they win, Sunday typically is always a bit more gloomy and doomy. Like, it's Sunday. Everyone kind of feels that way, to be honest, but it's more so amplified when they lose. And then Tuesday's typically back to normal, pretty good, you know, moving on to the next week. There's not always a ton of carryover, but he was pretty good today.
Jack, I'll ask you the same question I asked one of our Clemson guests on the show yesterday, because both programs in a tough spot here in 2025. Do you believe that what's happening, you know, in the rest of the country, across the country, with Brian Kelly, James Franklin, You know, maybe Mike Norvell, Billy Napier. Do you feel like that has any effect on the thoughts and processes of those in charge, like a Jeremiah Donati, when it comes to Shane Beamer's future at South Carolina?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You mentioned all those jobs that are open, Cole. I mean, it's astonishing how many are open right now, and it's not even Halloween yet. Like, we still have another month to go in the regular season, and then there's the bowl games and the playoffs. Like there's still a lot of season left to go, and coaches have been fired for, I mean, it feels like forever ago since Virginia Tech fired their coach all the way back in week 3, Deshaun Foster getting fired. I mean, it's just been crazy to think about how many coaches are gone. And I actually spoke with Jeremiah the other day. You mentioned Donati after a Board of Trustees meeting on Friday. Briefly just talked to him about Beamer and if he feels supported or if he's supporting him and whatnot. And he said yes, and that he believes that Shane's going to be able to get the thing turned around. He knows he could always talk to him about anything, and however he can help, he's willing to do so. So the interesting thing here is that Jeremiah did not make the hire with Shane. That was Ray Tanner when he was AD here at South Carolina. So that is interesting, you know, to just keep in mind. But I think the consensus around here is that Shane is going to be here heading into next season, and then you figure it out from there. That'll be a discussion for another day, more so about, okay, what does his future look like maybe next year? But I think he's good to go for right now.
Jack, going a little big picture here, not a specific question about South Carolina, but, you know, these giant buyouts that guys like Billy Napier and Brian Kelly are getting, these were supposed to prevent the midseason firings. This was supposed to be that speed bump that made boosters say, "Whoa, we don't want to come up with $60 million to tell somebody to go away." In your mind, what is the tipping point? Because these are only going to keep going up. What is the tipping point at which boosters, even at the biggest schools with the richest fan base, will say, "That is just too much for us to fire somebody in week 5?
That's a good question. I don't know necessarily what the limits are. I don't know exactly what goes on at all these other programs that are firing their coaches and X, Y, and Z about which donors are doing what and all that. But I think you hear about it online that there are frustrated donors all the time, like, that are trying to, I think it was Billy Napier before he got fired. I think it was last year that was that rumor out there that I think they did have, whatever Florida's Board of Trustees, mm-hmm. whatever their equivalent is over there, they were supposed to meet or something, I think I read last year, and that the donors were coming up with enough money to get rid of Billy. This is last year before he got fired, a few weeks ago. So I don't think there's really any limits. I think you see Norvell, you see Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. It's kind of surprising those coaches haven't been fired yet, considering they've had long leashes at their programs that have done absolutely nothing. So I think it's just, you see the buyouts. I mean, Mike Norvell and his staff, it's going to cost over $100 million to move on from all those guys. And it's the same thing at LSU with Brian Kelly. I just think you look at each fan base, you look at the donors that they have at these schools and stuff. I think it just depends. It's a case-by-case basis, I think, of which schools are willing to make the moves, because not everyone can just say, "Hey, let's pony up $100 million and let's get rid of these guys." Because also, it's not just that. You have to make a hire after that, too, and hire a whole new staff. So it's a lot that needs to be considered when you're making these kind of, in my opinion, pretty rash moves.
Jack, just imagine being a rich LSU donor who was hit up for, and I don't know what Coach O's buyout was at the time. Let's say you're hit up for $10 million to get rid of Coach O. You're still paying that off. And then 3.5 years later, they're hitting you up again for money to fire Brian Kelly. I mean, how many times would you let somebody take money out of your pocket to pay somebody not to coach at your school anymore?
I mean, it's insane what people are willing to do just to move on from a coach. I mean, and here's the thing. You're not given a ton of time to get this thing right. I mean, if you're LSU, whoever the next coach is going to be, they're going to have 3 years max maybe to get this thing right. Like, people are going to people get a free pass in year one because you're coming in, a new thing. You know, Brian Kelly set the bar pretty high in year one by going to the SEC championship and never got back to that level again with 8 and 9 win seasons, and now they're 5-3 this season out in Baton Rouge. So, I mean, I think most people would accept that type of success, but LSU's different, and Florida's different, and I think you could argue Penn State's different. I mean, these programs, they're not patient, and fans, as we all know, are not patient either. One thing goes wrong in one game, team could be 10-0, and something goes wrong in one game, it's, oh, fire this guy, fire that guy. The solution always seems to be fire this coach, fire that coach, but it doesn't always work out. You know, what's the saying? You know, be careful what you wish for. Moving on from Brian Kelly might seem like the right move right now, or moving on from James Franklin may seem to be the best move, but is it going to be that way in 3-4 years when, shoot, you might be right back here again having to cough up another $50 to $100 million? It's a lot to think about.
Jack, do you believe it's outlandish for Gamecock fans to want Shane Beamer fired?
Yes, I do. I think it's a bit crazy because go back to how many months has it been? Almost a year now since they beat Clemson, and everyone's talking. I can't remember exactly, so I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, Beamer's the savior. Beamer's the greatest. All these singing his praises for beating the Tigers and having a great year, winning 9 games, and you give him the contract extension, and everyone's excited that this is the man for the job. And now you got people actually out here wanting to run him out of town. That's ludicrous to me. I think Shane has done a pretty good job over the years. Guess this season has not been the one you were hoping for. But I think we also have to remember, I think the expectations were just set way, way too high for this program coming off of last season, just because of everything they lost, and that, you know, teams are pretty good in this conference, and that's always going to be tough to win in the SEC. So I think it would be a little bit crazy for people to want Shane Beamer fired right now, because I just think he's done enough to earn another year, in my opinion, not just based on this season, but as the body of work as a whole.
So, Jack, help us out for those who don't know the process of hiring an offensive coordinator, because there's a very high likelihood at the end of the season there's going to be a new one coming to Columbia. Is Shane in charge of hiring that new offensive coordinator? Does he have help? How many hands are sort of involved in making that decision?
Yes. Ultimately, it's going to be Shane Beamer's decision, as it was with Marcus Satterfield, with Dow Loggins, with Mike Shula. There's definitely input from others, I would say. But at the end of the day, it's Shane's decision. I would say Jeremiah Nannati is definitely involved in those conversations. But this is Shane's program, and he's going to hire who he thinks is best for the job. And obviously it needs to get approved by the Board of Trustees. So there are a lot of different voices in that discussion, but it's Shane's program. And whether it is wanting to move on from Mike Shula after season's end, I think we still need to let this season play out and see. Because if he hasn't been let go yet, I think you just let him go the rest of the year at this point and just see what can happen. Because the offense was better. As much as everyone wants to get rid of Mike Shula, guys, I think the play calling was fine on Saturday against Alabama. It was not the reason you necessarily lost the game. There were other things that went wrong in that game for South Carolina to blow that lead. But the offense can continue to be better. They have to be, because one game does not change everyone's opinion on what the body of work looks like on the whole.
Jack, what do you think the biggest downfall was Saturday into the reason that South Carolina was not able to close that game out against Alabama?
Yeah, I think the big issue closing out that game was just, you got to give a lot of credit to Alabama, first off.
Sure.
The way they were able to just, you know, after Lenoris scores the touchdown with like 10 minutes to go, Alabama goes on an insanely good drive, a championship-level football team type of drive, where you're going nearly 8 minutes down the field. It's not just scoring a touchdown, but you're getting the two-point conversion as well on somewhat of a trick play, that's impressive. And for as rough as things look for Ty Simpson at times, and that offense, they stepped up when it mattered most and made the plays. And the defense for South Carolina, which played really well throughout the day, did not get the job done when it mattered most. And that's where I think you talk about, all right, well, Alabama stepped up in the fourth quarter and South Carolina didn't. So that's the difference between winning and losing in this conference.
Jack, you know, it doesn't show up on the stat sheet a lot, Jaden Sellers, but he had a pretty monster day when you consider he only had three receptions, a long of 22 yards. Talk about the connection that Lenoris and Jaden have, and are you a little disappointed that this might be just a one-and-done opportunity to see those two play on the same field?
Yeah, it would be a little disappointing, wouldn't it? I think their connection's been pretty good over the last two games. Shane joked today with us in media availability that they've got Jaden in the slot, and before Jaden became that guy in the slot, Lenoris hadn't been throwing a ton to the others at that slot position. And now he's throwing a lot to Jaden. So it's like Shane's like, oh, hold up now. So it's funny in that regard. But yeah, no, the connection's been really good. And that 4th-and-12 play, that's a really good play call by Mike Shula, and just an efficiently job well done for Sellers to take a few steps to his left, find Jaden on the other end there to make that catch. And it was a really nice play, and yeah, their connection's been good so far.
Is there any part of you that thinks maybe Jaden being there for his sophomore season next year might tug on Lenoris's heartstrings a little bit to stick around one more year?
That's a good question. Here's my thing. Before Saturday against Alabama, I would have said, look, Lenoris has not really shown me that he's that first-round NFL draft pick type of quarterback that we know he can be to go out there and play like the way he had been. Hadn't shown me that throughout the season to where I'm like, oh, maybe he would benefit from coming back for another year. But then you see the performance he does have against Alabama. It was very good, in my opinion. You could talk about the fumble all you want. That's a play that's always going to be there, that is always going to be talked about. But what needs to be talked about is the way he played throughout that entire game. The interception was not on him. The completion rate wasn't necessarily the highest, but still, he gave you a chance to win that football game and made some really spectacular plays. So he's, in my opinion, I don't know what is going to happen at the end of the year with that decision, but right now, I mean, he looked like a quarterback that would be taken to the first round. I see what the NFL scouts are seeing with that performance he had on Saturday.
Well, Jack, it doesn't get much easier, man. This Saturday, we all know this gauntlet continues for South Carolina, this time on the road at Ole Miss, the 7th-ranked team. South Carolina 3-5 going against 7-1 Ole Miss. 12.5-point favorite are the Rebels, and we know how this game went last year. Not really a close contest. Does this one have any inclination in your mind that it's going to be different in terms of it being a close contest?
I think it could be. We still need to see more out of this offense for me to feel like, okay, they can go out there and match punch for punch with what Ole Miss does. Because it's not just their offense that's good with Trinidad Chambliss. It's the defense is good. And they're just a good, well-oiled machine that can cause a lot of problems for South Carolina. My thought is this game could either be entering blowout territory, or it could be that South Carolina is in a dogfight. I think that is what we're going to see on Saturday. It's one or the other, and I don't know necessarily if the game cocks up enough in them to win it, but I will say after the performance they had against Alabama, I think they could honestly go out here, and if they play like that again, they got a chance, in my opinion.
And then, Jack, to give you a preview of what we're going to touch on in the very next short segment, we saw Kellen Moore bench Spencer Rattler on Sunday, midway through that loss to Tampa Bay, and it has been announced that the Saints will start rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck over Spencer Rattler. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, and apparently that's for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So, like, I felt like this was going to happen at some point. First off, Spencer was not Kellen Moore's quarterback when he came in. Did not draft him. That was the previous staff. And, you know, let's face it, guys, Spencer was a fifth-round draft pick. And if there's any sort of slip-up at any point, which he'd been playing really well for most of the season, but did not play well on Sunday, and you see the results as are because of that, where he's getting benched now for the guy that Kellen Moore drafted. And it's not like Tyler Shuck is, you know, this all-world quarterback. I don't think he's going to be any good, and especially in the Saints offense where they just, you see Rattler couldn't succeed. I don't think Tyler Shuck is going to succeed either. So, yeah, I don't like it for Rattler. It stinks. It's a tough situation to be in, but the guy's a next level professional, and I think he's going to end up somewhere on his feet, whether it's back with the Saints after the season or somewhere else. I mean, I hope he gets into a good situation, because he was playing pretty well, and then to see him get benched after a little bit of a tough stretch, I mean, what do you expect out of the guy? I mean, it's an awful team, awful organization right now. It's a tough spot for any quarterback to be in.
Jack, you're a pro. We appreciate your insights, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
See you, man. Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central, really good stuff there. We'll dive into that. Tyler Shuck, now QB1. Is Jack Veltri right? We'll talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Gamecock fans want to hear what your reaction is to the breaking news that Spencer Rattler has been benched by Kellen Moore. They're now going to Tyler Shuck, the former Louisville Cardinal, and Diesel Jack Veltri, who's fantastic as always. He was just on with us in the very last segment, like literally minutes ago, and I put one of his answers on our Facebook page. Gamecock fans not liking it already. When I asked him if it was outlandish that Shane Beamer, you know, a lot of fans think he should be fired. Already some pushback on the Facebook page at the Fan Upstate. John says that is stupid in all caps. Justice says the goal isn't to be good every year at Carolina, just every 3 years. Which I don't know if that's sarcasm or not.
That sounds like a Clemson fan.
It does. It does. You're right. It might be. Jason says, Beamer needs to find better coaches on offense. Too late to fire assistant coaches now this late in the season, but Shula needs to be gone. Steven says he's going to Virginia Tech anyway, so get in, Tolo's on the comments there.
So that lends a very good question. I asked Jack about hiring a new offensive coordinator. God, how upset would Gamecock fans be? And how many of them would change their tune if Shane decided to keep Mike Shula around? Let's say these last couple of games, the offense looks considerably better than it did the first half of the season.
Be the worst thing for him, right?
And Mike Shula somehow gets retained by South Carolina.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the kind of vitriol coming out of that fan base if that were the case? So I beg the question, with Satterfield being his first choice, Gamecock fans hated him. With Dowell Loggins being his second choice, Gamecock fans didn't give him any credit because they said it was all Lenora Sellers. And with Mike Shula being his third choice, and that hasn't gone particularly well either, why are they giving Shane Beamer the reins to hire a new offensive coordinator? I know it's got to be somebody that he wants. I know it's got to be somebody that he trusts, that he sees eye to eye with, philosophically, whatever. But I would say Shane, to this point, does not have a strong track record in hiring offensive coordinators. Well, so maybe it doesn't need to be his decision anymore.
Here's where I am on that. I'm fine with it being his decision as long as he realizes that this is the decision that he makes, that he's going to live with, and that he's going to die with. I'm fine with him making it. But if he's going to make it, when it comes to the next offensive coordinator, if I'm the AD, Diesel, I've got to let Beamer know, be very clear. Shane, look, I'm the AD. You're the head football coach. You make the hire. But when you make this hire, you better know this is the hire that's either going to make or break you, because this is your final chance. Now, to be fair, I as the AD and the Board of Trust, everybody, the school, we have to give Shane whatever he needs. This is the SEC, for crying out loud. If he needs the bank, the Brinks truck to go get the next OC, we're going to give him the Brinks truck. So Jeremiah Donati's got to give Beamer what he needs to go get the next guy. This Mike Shula experiment didn't work. And to your point, Diesel, if their offense is better, I think it's still a moot point, because I don't know how Beamer can save face this offseason if he doesn't make a move.
Yeah, you can't saddle him with an OC that suddenly wants to run the triple option, but it does feel like Shane needs somebody to hold his hand through this OC hire.
He needs to get it right. I mean, that's all I can say.
Yes, he does. It is time, and this will be that thing that, you're right, makes or breaks his tenure.
Yeah.
When we come back, Cole, we are now less than 24 hours away from our Week 10 Upset Picks Challenge opening. Look, you're doing well.
I'm not doing well.
I don't want to hear this negativity from you.
I'm not doing well.
Okay? I'm going to get into some of my early leans. I want to see what you think about them. You're going to bring a few as well. And Tolos, if you've got some picks, Dave Mosley, we need you here, bud.
Yeah.
We need you more than ever on the early lean segment. If you can let us know who maybe you're considering for the Upset Picks Challenge tomorrow that opens up at 4 o'clock. That's coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.